Good morning, everybody. Isaiah 58:10 says, "If you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness and your gloom be like the noonday." One in eight people in the whole world don't have enough to eat. That's 867 million people worldwide go to bed hungry. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of people. And, you know, my first thought is we need to bring them food. But, you know, I was reading this article, and they say, no, we shouldn't bring them food. And this is what they said. Haiti is one of the three hungriest countries in the entire world. But even in a place where families face chronic hunger, handing out sacks of food may actually make things worse. In fact, Haiti has received tons upon tons of food aid for more than 60 years, but the rate of hunger there is actually higher. Three out of every four people in Haiti earn less than $2 a day. A remote village located on a mountain high above Port-au-Prince has long dealt with the problem of hunger. In times of famine, many church members used to leave the community to go to another community to get a job. Many church members were out of jobs and out of money to pay for their children's school fees. Today, though, parents are able to care for their children. It's not because the church started handing out rice. It's because the church created a community garden. Through a partnership with Nazarene Compassionate Ministries and Canadian Food Grains Bank, rural families in Haiti have received substantial agricultural training that allows them to grow their own food instead of waiting for aid to show up. Now families are able to not only put food on the table, but they can sell some of this food to also send their children to school.
I spoke to the rest home folk this morning about the joy of the Lord. And as we bring our tithes and offerings into the storehouse today, let the joy of the Lord be present in your heart. If our ushers would come at this time. Pat, would you ask God's blessings on our offering?
Father, we're very grateful this morning
to be able
to come to your house and worship. And we're very grateful this morning to realize how you have blessed your people. And as we give a portion back from this blessing that you so freely bestow upon us, Lord, we pray, Lord, that we might go to further thy kingdom and further the needs of thy people. As Carolyn talked about this morning, the people have great need. People, one in eight, go to bed hungry. And we are such a blessed country, Lord. We need to be able to share, not just, as she said, just to give food away, but to teach others. And that's what Jesus I know that you would like us to do, is to teach others to fend for themselves. And so people not be able to go to bed hungry, but be blessed through your goodwill. And Lord, we ask your blessing upon today's service. Pastor Gary, to bring some bread of life to us this morning. These things we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Man. Thank you.
From the ends of the earth.
From the ends of the earth.
From the depths of the sea.
From the depths of the sea.
Sing with it. From the heights of the heaven.
From the heights of the heaven.
Your name we praise.
From the hearts of the weak.
From the hearts of the weak.
From the shouts of the strong.
From the shouts of the strong.
From the lips of all people.
Glory to your name, O Lord, glory to your name, O Lord, for your name is great and greatly to Have a Savior where we can draw close to Him. We know that He indeed extends His arms of love, welcomes us into His presence, and just asks us to share with Him whatever our needs are, to express our thoughts and our feelings to Him, that He is our Heavenly Father. We can crawl up in His lap, and that He indeed has time to listen. I don't know how God listens to everybody at the same time, but I know He does it. And I have that confidence and that assurance today. And we want to indeed take this time to go to Him and remember some items that are coming up. We know that we want to be in prayer for Dee Jennings as she will have a surgery on Tuesday. And then Sister Ruth will be having some tests the early part of this week, probably on Tuesday as well. And those tests may determine whether she actually gets to have surgery or not on the 25th. So you be praying for her as she'll be going through that as well. We are glad to tell you that some of our folks who have been in rehab have returned to their homes. And it's great to see Sister Loretta right here in the pews this morning. So we're glad that you are back and with us. And we pray for Orville this morning at home and just ask that God would continue to touch and bless them. Evelyn Reed is back greeting at Walmart, and we're thankful for that. And we're glad that Bonnie continues to get stronger after her surgery, and she's feeling better. And so we're excited about the way God has answered in all these cases. We continue to remember those who are fighting struggles, and we continue to remember Amanda's Uncle Ron, and we want to continue to pray for those that indeed are battling these various issues. And we just continue to lift up Sister Helen Atnip, who is in rehab. Pray for David Wilson, who is at home now, but indeed is in recovery. And there's a myriad of other names and items that are listed here that we continue just to be in prayer one for another. And so remembering these requests this morning. These altars are open to you if you have need of them. Let's stand together as we sing one more time. And if you have need of these altars for praise, petition, whatever it might be, a place to leave a burden, a pray to intercede on behalf of someone, you feel free to come. No one's going to bother you. It'll be your private time with the Lord. And then we'll lift our voices together.
To accomplish what concerns me today, He is able, more than able, to handle anything that comes my way. He is able, more than able, to do much more than
Father, as we come to you this morning, we come with grateful hearts. We are thankful for the privilege of gathering today on the Lord's Day here in this beautiful facility that you have provided for us. We thank you for all who have gathered in. What an honor it is always to have family gatherings. And Lord, we thank you for our brothers and sisters in Christ today. And then, Lord, in our spirit, we are joined together because we know that there are facilities like this all across the world, that indeed today and in this time, people have gathered to worship you and to pray and to hear the word of God proclaimed. Lord, we thank you for the great gathering that takes place. May we be united in spirit, even though we may be meeting in different locations. Father, we pray today that we want to say thanks for all that has been done over these last few weeks and months, all that's been happening in our church. We thank you for the day yesterday and the opportunity to share Jesus with the people that came onto our campus. Lord, we just thank you for everyone who has given in any way and been a part of all of these various events. We pray, Father, that we would continue to see a fruit. We pray, Father, that and thank you for the healing touch that you have given to our people. We know of many who have been laid up for a while that are beginning to be able to get out and about again, and we thank you for your healing in their life. Lord, we pray for those that this week will encounter surgery, that will indeed be making decisions about surgery. Lord, we pray your hand would be upon them. Lord, we pray especially today for BJ McConnell. We just got word from Chad by text this morning that her treatment was a difficult treatment this weekend, and she's been pretty much in a recliner all weekend without moving much and not feeling well. And so, Lord, we pray that you'd put your healing hand upon her, bless the rest of the family, and indeed to help Chad as he tries to be a support to her and to give her strength. Lord, we pray that you would just touch her as the great physician and then bring help into that home today. Father, we just we're honored and privileged to be here, to be in your presence, to have your word that gives us direction, that gives us hope and encouragement. We pray that you would bless our time together. We pray that the Holy Spirit would be evident. We pray that our hearts would be open, that our minds would be receptive, that indeed we would be obedient to your voice and to your direction, and that as we go about our activities today, that we can say it was good to be in the house of the Lord. We pray your blessing upon the presentation that will take place tonight as we rejoice together and share the experiences of Pastor Don and Pat as they were in Ecuador. Lord, we thank you for these activities. We pray for our missionaries around the world and for the lost people that they continue to encounter. And Lord, we pray for the mission field that's right here in our own backyard. Help us to continue as a church to do more than just a fellowship, but indeed to continue to reach out and to share Jesus Christ with our community. We thank you. We praise you. We honor you. You are worthy. And Lord, we don't have enough words to express our thanksgiving. Thank you for the joy of Jesus in our hearts. Have your will and your way now. We commit our lives into your hands afresh and anew today in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. They tell me that summer colds are of the worst kind, and indeed, our special music has kind of been derailed today by impact on voices and things, and so we'll hope to bring that to you another time. But we're praying that those who are afflicted today indeed will have God's touch, and that He will bring back their voices and the things that they need to share in that particular manner. So if you have your Bibles this morning, we want to get right to it. And who knows, you might even have an early lunch today. You never know. But I know that you are indeed, a good portion of you are tired and weary. You have been traveling. You have been working. There's been things going on. Those of you who absorbed the rays of the sun yesterday indeed are probably a little weary and maybe not totally recuperated. I am not totally recuperated yet, I know that. And so what a great day it was. And I want to share with you, there it is, a message this morning that as I prayed and prepared through the course of this week, it was impressed upon my mind what a challenging summer this has been for our church in particular. We have faced several things, and you have been called upon multiple times this summer to give of yourselves, to give of your resources, and to be involved in ministry to others, some within our own church family, some that are outside of our family. And indeed, it has been a good summer. But it has been a draining summer in some respects, emotionally because of the loss of some of our family members, and physically because of the effort that's been put out with a Vacation Bible School and with Faith Family and Fun Day, and indeed people that have been helping us get people to youth camps and children's camps. And being a part of all that. And then you've been trying to fit some vacation and family time in there along the way. And so it's just been a very busy and a very draining time. And my goal is to say to you from the heart of God this morning, and so I really feel this very strongly, that God directed me into this way. And what God wants to say to you this morning is He's appreciative of who you are and your talents and abilities that He has given you, and the way that you have used Him to be an honor and a blessing to Him. And I can tell you from the heart of this pastor that it has made me extremely proud the number of times that you have done various things. We've prepared funeral dinners and indeed put on a Bible school and put on the Faith Family and Fun Day yesterday. You've served meals at the Ronald McDonald House. There's a myriad of things sometimes that are going on that not everybody is involved in, but before it's all said and done, about everybody around is involved in something. And so I just want to share these passages of Scripture from my heart, and I believe from God as well, in thanksgiving and appreciation for all your efforts and all that you have done to be a part of what we are doing as a church to minister the love of Jesus Christ to our community. So I turn your attention to 1 Thessalonians and to 2 Thessalonians, the opening chapters of those two particular books. Paul was writing to a church in a city of about 200,000 people. And there was a group of Jews there that had been converted. And there was a great number of Gentiles that had come to faith. And Paul went there on his second missionary journey and established a church in Thessalonica, and had to depart the premises under persecution from Jews who were there and kind of jealous of the church and the growth that was taking place. They were upset, traditional Jews, and they made it very difficult on Paul until he finally had to leave and move on to another city. And so now he's writing back to the church at Thessalonica and trying to see what the state of the church was. He's trying to encourage them and help them to continue in their faith. And so we read these verses from chapter 1 of 1 Thessalonians, verses 2 and 3. We always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers. We continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. And then if you turn over to the second letter, the beginning of that second letter in chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, we ought always to thank God for you, brothers, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love every one of you has for each other is increasing. Therefore, among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance and faith in all the persecutions and trials that you are enduring. Indeed, the other new converts that were a part of that congregation were under the same pressure from the Jewish community that surrounded them. And so Paul was concerned because we know, you know, we have it in retrospect. They didn't have it so much then, but we have the parable of the sower, and we know that that according to that parable, that only about 25% of sometimes the initial professions of faith remain true and faithful and actually grow and bear fruit. And so Paul was concerned that these new converts under persecution or all the busyness of the day or other things might fall by the wayside, or that they indeed might be discouraged. It's easy to serve God when everything is blessing, right? When God's giving us stuff and He's helping us and everybody's patting us on the back and say, oh, you're such a fine person. Thank you so much for all that you're doing. But what happens when we do stuff and nobody notices? Or what happens when we do stuff and somebody notices and they oppose us? and they come against us and say, you shouldn't be doing that. That's a silly thing to do. Why in the world are you doing that? We shouldn't be spending money on that. That's a crazy thing. And we get all of this stuff that's going on, and maybe we think that we're the only ones participating, nobody's helping, those kind of things. And so Paul was writing to them and saying, how are you doing? You know, I want to hear about what's going on and how you are. And by the way, I thank God for you. I pray for you. I know you got a lot going on. He talks to them and he says, I am thankful for your work produced by faith. Your work produced by faith. When I got to looking at this, because I was a little bit confused, because if you read this phrase, he talks about work produced by faith and labor prompted by love. I'm thinking, wait a minute, work and labor, that's the same thing. So what exactly is he trying to say? And as I studied this, and as I read and began to read other writers and scholars and various things, then I began to kind of understand the separation here. When he talked about the work that's produced by faith, he was kind of talking about the work of the church. And he was talking about them as a corporate body and how they were holding together and how they were doing the things that needed to be done. And I was just thinking about that. And as he was trying to encourage them, he talking about the corporate work of the church. We see it there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. In fact, when we were with you, we kept telling you that we would be persecuted, and it turned out that way, as you well know. For this reason, when I could stand it no longer, I sent to find out about your faith. I was afraid that in some way the tempter might have tempted you and our efforts might have been useless. So he wanted to encourage them to stay in relationship to Jesus Christ, continue to encourage others to come to faith. And that's exactly what we've been doing. All of the things that we have mentioned that we've talked about, you know, the very ministries that were carried on. We did it as the church representing Jesus Christ, giving out his heart and his hand to the world. We did VBSs and we did Faith, Family, and Fun Day, and we did the funeral dinners, and we've had the children's and youth activities, and you went to the Ronald McDonald House and served those meals. Those are all things that the church corporately, as a representative, goes out and does. Our ladies' fellowship, you know, kind of went to do the Giggles ladies went to do the Ronald McDonald meals. And then our church as a whole, the people who could and were available, right in the middle of people's work weeks and on days when normally a lot of people at work. But we had some of our people, particularly some of our retired community, that came out and responded in those funeral dinners and served those people and prepared meals, and other people that couldn't be here to serve made food and left it with us and those kinds of things. There was activity that was going on, indeed, that was ministry to other people. Now, I just thought it would be interesting this morning just to kind of take a real quick survey as we think about the number of people that were involved in some of the things that we're trying to do to reach out to our community. And I'm just curious right now, and you get a look around while I'm doing this. You can look all around you, okay? How many people that are 70 years of age or older participated or supported Vacation Bible School or the Faith, Family, and Fun Day, or helped serve funeral dinners? How many of you that are 70 years of age and older participated in those things? Look around you. Look at that great bunch of people. Now, they're not in here because we sent them out to Children's Church, but did you know, I looked at the sign-up sheets. This is the first year we'd really kind of done this because we weren't sure it was going to work out. But indeed, when we had carnival sign-up, we encouraged everybody to go out last week and sign up for the carnival. We had kids less than 12 years of age signed up wearing big old adult T-shirts. They had them tied in knots. They had them all. But those kids were out there. They were working the games. They were ministering to other people. They wanted to be a part of that. And they're kids, and they kind of want to play too, but they did their part. You know, we kind of said, okay, they can't play today. We're here to serve people. And so we had kids in our children's area that they came to serve. Isn't that wonderful? That's fantastic that as a body of Christ that we've got children that are already getting it right in their mind. They're saying, hey, I'm here to work, you know. And I thought that was so exciting that we had people over 70, people that were under 12. Now, somewhere in the middle there, there's a lot of other people who indeed are helping and being a part of that. And within that group, do you know that we had some teenagers? You know, they say that the teenagers are going to the dogs and all that kind of stuff. And what are we going to do? Because, you know, we have these generation, they don't have a work ethic and all those kind of things. Do you know that we had teenagers yesterday that worked Faith, Family, and Fun Day? They came straight here from an all-night teen quiz. They hadn't slept. They came in here. They got out of the van. They began to work. They worked all day long. Let me tell you how tired they were. Let me tell you how tired they were. One of them fell asleep in a pew here after the carnival was over. Couldn't even get in the car to go home. That's how tired they were. But they worked. And don't we appreciate our teens coming in from their activity without any sleep? Because teenagers, they stay up all night half the time anyway. So I don't know if they're used to that or not. But at any rate, they were here and they were working. You know, we had men working. We had women working. We had children working. We had teens working. We had all kinds of people that were putting it together. And the same was true with Vacation Bible School, with the funeral service. And let me ask you this question. There were some people that probably didn't get to physically be here. But let me do this first. How many of you that are here today? Okay, listen closely. How many of you that are here, because I want you to stand up. How many of you that are here today either worked Vacation Bible School or Faith Family or Fun Day or one of those funeral dinners? Or how many of you contributed something to, you either brought food to one of those items or you prayed for those activities or you gave money to include those activities? In some way or another, you gave support to any of those events, the funeral dinners, the Vacation Bible School, the Faith, Family, and Fun Day. If you made a contribution, dollars, items, prayer, or you actually showed up and worked those events, if you did any of those things, I want you to stand up. Look at that. That's almost the whole church. Isn't that great? You can be seated. Isn't that fantastic? That's a great effort. And I want you to know that not only is the pastor proud of you, but I believe God in heaven is proud of you. I believe that God looks down and says, "Well done, faithful servant." I believe he's pleased that you're trying to take his name and his personality and represent that to the world. I think he's excited about that. He is commending you for your work produced by your faith. You know, the book of James tells us in chapter 2, verses 14 through 18, "What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, 'Go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed,' but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead." Now, we know we're not saved by works. There's not one work we can do that can get us saved. But we also know that because we are saved and out of a heart of appreciation for the free gift of salvation, we want to please the Heavenly Father. We want to do His will. And part of doing His will is accomplishing His work on earth. And so we work. What a great thing. What a wonderful thing. And God will bless the church for the things they've done. Now, we haven't really talked specifically about numbers, so let me give them to you pretty quickly as best as we know them. And this is never an exact science. We do know that our car show yesterday was larger than it has been for the last 2 years. We think the attendance at the whole event was about the same as it was last year. We served probably around 200 people. We probably had 45 to 50 workers on site. Yesterday there were green and kind of yellow green shirts running around all over the place that said staff on the back of them. What was really cool was for the first time ever, we did what we told you we were going to do. We brought the people into the sanctuary. Okay? It was air conditioned. They liked that part. But here was the really cool thing, because we didn't know what was going to happen. I had a concern in my heart that when we brought them off the field and into the church, that there would be some of them that would just kind of migrate away. You know, because they didn't want to come in there. Do you know what happened? That wasn't true. We probably didn't have, now there were a few people that didn't stay for the whole day, you know, the whole 2 hour event. And so there were some that came earlier in the day that weren't here when we came into the church. But of the people that were on the field and in the parking lot at the time that we called everybody in, I think we kind of had some visible people watching. We could only account for about 2 to 4 people that actually left. Everybody else came in here. And you know what I was hearing from people with those green shirts on? They were saying, "How cool it looked to see all those people in our pews." Now, here's the deal. Can I tell you that we had someone come to the altar and kneel down and accept Jesus Christ yesterday? I can't tell you that. Can't tell you that. Is there a new family here in the church this morning because of Carnival? I can't tell you that there's anybody here this morning that's new and visiting us because of Carnival. So if that's the kind of black and white thing you're looking for, I can't give that to you. What I can tell you is that approximately 180 people sat inside this sanctuary yesterday, and I gave them a very clear gospel presentation. So we had the opportunity in a matter of minutes to share the gospel with probably a significantly greater number of people than we do at any other thing that happens the entire year. Will they accept? I don't know for sure if they will. I can't tell you they didn't. I can tell you that the seed was planted, and I can tell you that if you learn anything about farming, you don't get harvest the day after you plant the seed or the day of. Sometimes it has to be watered and cultivated and takes time and other things to happen. And then through the season of growth, then the fruit comes to the surface. Can I tell you that there's never going to be anybody come here because of Faith, Family, and Fun Day yesterday? No, I'm hoping that they'll come Wednesday night and eat burgers. I hope they'll come Sunday. And, I don't know when they're going to come. I don't know if they're going to come. Can I tell you that some people know where our church is now that didn't know where it was before Saturday? I can tell you that. Can I tell you that the guy who's renting the pool house next to my house, that's what we call it because it has a pool behind it, it's been empty for quite some time. He came over, met me at the sound tent yesterday, said, I want to introduce yourself. I'm your new neighbor. Somebody said that you're the pastor, da-da-da-da-da. And he talked to me and he said, we're going to be looking for a church home. And so he said, we'll probably visit. And I'm thinking, that's cool. That's a good deal, you know. The neighbors were all happy with our event. I talked to the neighbors personally on Wednesday night after church. I went to their homes. I said, I just want to remind you, we're going to have some noise going on Saturday. They said, that's okay with us. We like that event. Can I tell you that your church is in better standing in the community because of what you've done? Absolutely. Can I tell you that there are people that know where this church is and about this church that did not know before yesterday? I can tell you absolutely. Can I tell you that Brother Steve took the children out on Wednesday night, took the children out, and they went to the park. And they handed out flyers in the park. And one of the families that came here yesterday was a family that they met in the park. It was an African-American family. They came here. They walked away with three of the baskets. I'm thinking they like the Church of the Nazarene now. I don't know, you know. But we had people. I had a lady stand at the back door yesterday. People were going and going. She had plenty of opportunities to leave. She could have left. She stood right there until everybody got out. And then she walked over to me and she said, thank you for doing this for my family. Does that make me ready to do it again? You bet. And then I thought about something else when I think about the work and all that's involved. Can anybody tell me who the VBS director was? Jason, who was the VBS director? Amber Shelton. Can anybody tell me who the carnival director is? Cody Swearingen. Stop and think about that. Where'd those guys come from? They grew up here. Those are kids that were teenagers in our teen group that are now leaders in our church. God is producing fruit. Harvest is coming. Sometimes we get kind of tunnel vision and nearsighted, and if we don't get immediate gratification from a particular thing in a particular way, we think it wasn't successful. Not by a long shot. Things are happening. How many of you feel good about what we did yesterday? How many of you had fun doing the work, even though it was work? That event every year does something for the morale of our church and for our people working together as a team. That's the only way you get it, is by working together. There's good things that happen. Why? Because of work produced by faith. But Paul was also writing to the church and he talked about their labor prompted by love. Paul had an interesting thing that he did in virtually every letter that he ever wrote. He's talked to people about their personal lives. Now, yes, he's writing to a church corporately, but he challenged them about their individual faith. And that's where I began to realize that was what was going on here. When he talked about work produced by faith, he was talking about the corporate body doing the work of the church in the community. But then when he talked about labor prompted by love, he was talking about individual people carrying out their faith on a personal level. You see, I know about all that corporate stuff because I'm the pastor of the church, and sometimes I have direct influence on some of that. And I know when something's going out in the name of the church, I know what we're doing usually. Not always, but usually. But there's a lot of stuff that you do as a Christian that is a positive influence for the church when people find out where you go to church. It helps. But most of all, it's what you do because you love Jesus, and it's not about trying to represent the church. It's about trying to be Christ to a hurting world. That's labor prompted by love. It's because you love God and the love of God comes through you and you love people that you respond to them. I know that there's things that you do. I know that there's people out there who you give things to other people. You find anonymous ways to help somebody. You know, or you do it even if it's not anonymous. You send a note of encouragement, or you share a meal during a tough time, or you give a gift of some kind, or you take someone out to eat, or you know, there's any myriad of ways that because you love God and because that makes you love people, that when you see needs, you respond to them, and you don't do it because the church corporately said, okay, you're supposed to do this now. You did it because the love of Jesus in your heart, and you're empathetic to people and their needs, and you respond to that. It's labor prompted by love. Listen to what Paul said as he was writing this letter. He gave them specific directions, says, hey, this is how I want you to be acting. This is what I want you to be doing. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, let me just read a few of these verses here. Verse 1. Finally, brothers, we instructed you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are living. Now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more. And then the first half of verse 3, it's God's will that you should be sanctified. In verse 7, he goes on to say, for God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. And then if you go on to verses 11 and 12, he said, make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your hands, just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders, and so that you will not be dependent on anybody. And that's what happens when you love people in the name of Jesus. They want to know what causes you to do that. And you know what that does? That creates opportunities to witness. You know what that does? Then that lets you tell people about Jesus. You know what that does? That introduces them to Jesus. And if they accept Jesus, then that brings converts. It's just an automatic. And all you have to do is just love people. And when they ask you why, then you tell them, because I love Jesus, and Jesus loves me, and Jesus loves you, and I just want to help you. And all of a sudden you're witnessing. You're an evangelist. You don't even think about doing it as an evangelist on purpose, but it's happening because you're sharing out of the love of Jesus Christ. The book of Romans says to us in Romans chapter 12, verses 10 through 13, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. And some of you have that gift. You have the gift of hospitality. You're just always doing things for other people or inviting people over or hosting. You just do that because that's how you are. It's a gift. And it blesses other people that you're that way. How many of you enjoy having somebody care about you? And when you care about somebody else, see, they like that too. And what's that say to them? Well, you're a nice person. Why are you a nice person? Because Jesus loves me. There's some people out there that are nice people now that didn't used to be so nice. You know what the difference is? Jesus. People see that. People go, what happened to you? Jesus happened to me. We get those opportunities to share Christ, our work produced by faith, our labor prompted by love. Those are the personal things that we do because of the love of Jesus Christ that's in us. And Paul was saying to them, hey, I know that those Jews were beating up on you. I know that they were giving you a hard time. I know that they've been persecuting the church. Hang in there. Keep the faith. You know, you're doing a good job. Continue to do the work of the church. And oh, by the way, yeah, I've been hearing about how you've been living. I've been hearing you've been giving a living testimony. You've been a great example of Jesus Christ. You know, I heard so-and-so got something bad to them and they didn't lose their temper. I heard so-and-so over here was in need, but they gave something they had to somebody who was in greater need. I heard, and see, Paul's saying, hey, I'm hearing all this stuff. And see, they like Paul because Paul's the guy who started the church. They think a lot of Paul. So when he's writing back and saying, these are really good things, continue to do those things. God's pleased with those things. Man, now that's like saying, sick them to a dog. You know, they're going to keep going. Everything you've done this summer is not unnoticed, not to no avail, but God has it recorded. God is appreciative of it. And God says, thank you so much for being me to them. I love that phrase, God with skin on. I think that's such a good phrase. Because that's what we're supposed to be. That's what we're supposed to do. We're just supposed to be God with skin on. We're just helping people to see God for who He really is. And people can see that by how we change and how we are and what happens to us when we know God. You know, we have that positive reflection. But then he went on to say, and not only do I see your work produced by faith and your labor prompted by love, but I'm thrilled about your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. So what's he saying? He's saying, hang in there. He's saying, I know that when you work, you get tired. We're human. How many of you were more tired at 4 o'clock yesterday than at 10 a.m.? Yeah. But how many of you kind of thought it was kind of a good kind of tired? You ladies who worked the food tent, did you see anybody you thought might not have had a meal in a while? I don't know for sure that it happened. I'll just tell you this because I haven't told anybody this yet. But I got a call on Friday from one of the agencies in Springfield who was placing someone in the motel here in Nixa. A disabled veteran. I don't know what the disability was, so I don't know how obvious it was or anything else. But they said, do you have any idea where this guy might be able to get food over the weekend? And I said, well, I know where we can get lunch on Saturday. So I don't know if he was here or not. I didn't meet him. I was busy doing what I was doing. We have no idea who came through that food tent. That might have been the first meal they'd had in a while. Those of you who are in the healthcare industry and those of you who've been teachers at school, you know about these kids that go without food. And there's a part of me that's that black and white legalistic part of me that says, okay, we gave you a ticket, you get one meal. Then there's this other part of me that says, but what if they need more? And we had plenty yesterday. Maybe, just maybe, God is smiling today because somebody got a cup of cold water or a cup of cold lemonade or a cup of cold tea from the folks over at Nixa Church of the Nazarene. Maybe they hadn't had a cold drink like that in quite a while. We never know, you know. Granted, there are some people out there probably who use the system or whatever, but you never know who really needed it. And I'm telling you that your Heavenly Father is smiling down on you this morning because of what you did yesterday, because of what you did weeks ago in VBS, because of what you did in June, ministering to those families who lost loved ones. And what He's saying to you is, I know you get tired. I know you get tired. But don't give up. Can I remind you about Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9? Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. See, I wanted so bad. I wanted so bad to come in here this morning and say, hey, 5 people got saved yesterday. I wanted so bad to come in here and say, hey, we did it. We nailed 400 people yesterday. I can't tell you that. But I can tell you that we planted seeds. And I can tell you that people heard the gospel, and I'm not sure when the proper time for the harvest is. But I have a God in heaven who wrote a book, and he said to me, don't give up. Don't quit doing good things because you don't see instant gratification. Work the field. Plant the seed. Cultivate the soil. There'll be a harvest. When it comes up, reap it. And God is pleased with the effort that went out yesterday. God is pleased with the work that went out. And just like the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica and tried to encourage them with the future, so we can be encouraged that if we continue to do, even when it seems like nobody notices, maybe even when it seems like we're not getting the result, maybe when we're not sure if that was well spent money, be encouraged that stay with the battle, continue to do the things that will reach out to people with Jesus. And then here's the confidence that comes back to you. Let me share with you in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verses 16 and 17. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And after that, we who are still alive and who are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Jesus is coming again. And we have the future of eternity in heaven to look forward to. But for the moment, we're here. And while we're here, we have to put up with all the stuff that's a part of here. But we can focus on the goal. We can see the finish line. And it gives us hope and encouragement to go all the way across. When I was running track in high school, my coach used to say to me, do not stop, do not even slow down before you cross the finish line. He said, if you slow down in anticipation of the finish, somebody might pass you right in the last second. How many of you watched the Olympics and they timed those timers down to the hundredth of a second? And how many of you have seen those swimming races or those running races where somebody wins by a hundredth of a second? What would happen if that person had pulled up early? I can see the finish line. I'm going to slow down. They wouldn't accomplish the victory. It would have been taken from them. I'm here to tell you that your enemy, the devil, would like to rob you of the victory. He'd like to tell you to slow down, to pull up. He'll get there eventually. What the Father in heaven says is just like our coaches, it says, stay with it. Don't give up. Don't get weary. I notice, I've got it recorded. Continue to reach the finish line. And then as Paul was wrapping this letter up, he wrote some things that encouraged my heart. I hope they'll encourage yours this morning. For in that second letter, in chapter 3, he wrote in the final verses there, verse 16 and verse 18, I want to read to you. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with all of you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. God knows we're human. God knows we get tired and weary. What he's saying to us is don't give up. Keep doing the good stuff. Stay with it. And I want you to know that I'm going to be with you. You don't have to do this by yourself. You have to do it on your own. My peace and my grace will be with you, whatever the challenge, whatever the battle, wherever you go, I'll be there with you. Don't give up. The end is near, but not yet. Don't grow weary in well-doing. Harvest will come. Trust me for the harvest. Just do what I ask you to do. When I ask you to do it, I'll take care of the rest. And oh yeah, by the way, I love you and I'm pleased with you. You know, when I was a kid, I would have given my eye teeth, so the phrase goes, for my dad to be a verbal person and to have said to me verbally, that's a good job, son. I would love to have heard those words. That just wasn't how my dad did things. But I can tell you this, it's recorded in the Word that at the end, my Heavenly Father is going to say, well done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter now into the joy that's thine. I'm looking forward to that time. But I got to keep pressing the battle. I got to keep giving the effort. I got to keep doing the stuff. He'll take care of me. Oh, it's true. I can't do as much as I used to. I used to be able to do everything I did yesterday and not even think twice about it. Yesterday when I got home, I thought about it till I went to bed, and then I thought about it some more. When I got up this morning, I was still thinking about it because I got up earlier than I wanted to because of the way I felt from yesterday. You understand that? That's part of being here. When we get there, it won't be like that. While we're here, we just need to do what needs to be done. It's been a busy summer. I'm proud of you. God's proud of you. Stick with the stuff. There's people that need to know about Jesus. We may be the only shot they got. So let's just stick with the stuff. And I thank God in my prayers for all of you. Don't let the devil make you think nothing's happening. God's doing things you can't see sometimes. Just keep planting the seed. Amen. Let's stand together. These altars are always open. I hesitate to close any service without giving you an opportunity to respond. Today's not really been one of those kind of things to where I expect you to be under conviction. Matter of fact, I would hope that you would be encouraged and feel like there's a Heavenly Father in heaven who appreciates everything you do, knows every detail of everything that you give. And loves you for it. But the deal is, he doesn't love you for what you do. He just loves you. What you do is icing on the cake. But sometimes, we let things get in our lives and in our way, and we kind of get distanced from that Heavenly Father. Not because God moved anywhere, but because we let stuff get in between. I just want you to know that God wants you. He wants to be in a relationship with you. And he appreciates everything you do in his name. Every head bowed and every eye closed this morning, just very quickly. These altars are open. Is there anyone here that has any need of any sort? You just need a place to pray. Maybe you've drifted. Maybe you just need to make a fresh commitment this morning. Maybe there's something going on. You just need to leave at the altars. Whatever it is, we just want to make sure that as you go out this morning, you go out with peace and with victory. Knowing that God loves you. Has a plan for your life, and we're going to work together, continue to reach out to a lost and hurting world. Anybody at all that just needs a place to pray, a time of prayer. Amen. Have a restful afternoon. Come back and hear about Ecuador tonight. And we'll celebrate together the souls that were won as that work was done there. And indeed be challenged. Wednesday night. I'm going to come off a vacation trail and just be on vacation. I'm probably going to wear shorts and a t-shirt, and I'm going to cook. And I'm just going to come here because I like you. And you have to do all the work. Okay. But then I'm probably going to be gone on the weekend to see my girls. All right? I love you. What a privilege. Pastor, such a great group of people for these many years. You've been more than kind to me. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. Brother Brett, pray a closing prayer for us, please.